Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, Jack, this is the President Sleepy Joe Biden, and you're listening to my favorite podcast in the world. Hey, fam.
New theme song.
Hey, Leonardo, welcome to Hey, Fam.
Who's Leonardo?
You know that song?
I know, like, Leonardo's Bride.
Was it good, like... She don't like me for my car.
Oh yeah, she likes me for me. Is that
yeah,
the song?
Yeah.
And even if I something
not because I look like Leonardo, all that guy who was on Fargo.
That was
his name was Steve.
That's
what a weird song.
I want to do a geniuset.com episode. Like, I want to see the songwriters break that down, because they're like saying she likes me for me. I mean, I like that they're saying Steve Buscemi's a good-looking guy or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's
also
interesting.
Like, you know, maybe this isn't our award to give, but if there was ever a whitest black guy of all time award, lead singer of...
Wait, is that guy black?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If he was born a decade later, he'd be singing about, like, Goku and stuff. Like, with that same,
When is that song? Is it, like, 2003 or something?
She likes me for me. I think it's, like, 99 to 2002.
They were called Blessed, like, Blessed with an I, Union of Souls.
B-O-S. B-U-S.
Yes. Like, Hootie of Hootie and the Blowfish fame.
Black guy.
Like, in a very white band, but he's, you know...
He's black as hell.
He's got like that, you know, whereas...
This guy, I actually literally... You talking about this guy, he reminds me of like a Smash Mouth lead singer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like someone of that ilk. Reminds me of that like Fountains of Wayne.
Jesus Christ, they've been around since 1990.
It's brutal when you've been in a band for 33 years and like a podcast opens by saying, I can't believe that guy's black.
1999 is when that song came out.
I said that, 99.
Yeah, right.
I said 99 to 2002.
Yeah.
She likes me for me. As if they have any other songs.
Because
though. Bussin?
Bussin Union of Souls.
Bussin.
Blessed Union of Souls.
Blessed Union of... That's a terrible band name, isn't it?
So sick. Oh, there's so many weird lyrics in that song.
Well, I think we should go through it.
I think first she goes like, she likes me for me, not because I look like Tyson Beckford.
Not because... Yeah, they're just... It's like really outdated.
With something of Robert Redford.
Okay, I'm going to bring it up right now because you've got... You know what it reminds me of? It's like a... It's been 1 week. You know how it's a song
absolutely.
That's just references?
It sounds like a Bare Naked Lady.
Yeah, it's a song that's just like
Chickity
references.
China, the Chinese
What's the
chicken?
Song called? That's the best line.
The weirdest line.
My favorite. I always think of... I remember like hearing it as a kid. He's like, "I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral." I was like, "No, you don't. You're not at a funeral." Going.
Yeah, he's told. I've seen like a video of him talking about that lyric, and it was,
like,
it's a real
laughed.
Story. He was at his brother's funeral and he laughed.
It's been. what is it called? Business.
I found it. Okay, let me find.
Blessed.
So, who is Tyson Beckford?
An actor?
Not because I look like Tyson Beckford with the charm of Robert Redford oozing
not
out my ears.
I look like Tyson.
And then where else is another? Okay, yeah.
Is it called I Believe? No, that's another.
It's called Hey Leonardo. That's why I started.
Oh.
Because there is one line. It's
why
like,
did you start with that?
What do you mean? Because that song, I hear my gym exclusively plays the shittest music in the world.
Sure. Hey Leonardo, she likes me for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I heard like a dance remix of this this week.
Okay, so Tyson Beckford is... an American fashion model and actor best known as a Ralph Lauren polo model. He was also the host of both seasons of Make Me a Supermodel.
Wow.
So I can see what that line means because he's like, I don't look like a supermodel. And he also doesn't have the charm of Robert Redford. But what she see, this is...
What about this one?
The collection of DVDs.
She likes me for me, not because I sing like Pavarotti or because I'm such a hottie.
I've got a great one. She likes me for me, not because I'm tough like Dirty Harry. Make her laugh just like Jim Carrey, unlike the cable guy. It's literally a cable guy diss track.
Whoa.
Ben Stiller. How do you respond?
He let his culture shine through on one lyric. I like her
fat.
For her, not because she's fat.
Yeah,
like Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, wow. I just saw a bit that I loved. The second verse is, she don't care about my big screen or my collection of DVDs. That's wild.
Well, someone that definitely
cares
about...
It's the widest song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it should be our theme song.
Let's do it. Maybe we can get Joe Biden to sing it.
And I think that would go a little. Did you see today, speaking of Sleepy Joe, they found cocaine in the White House?
Whoa.
That's it's sick. Like a new, they're like, yeah, there's cocaine.
Cocaine Bear on Blu-ray.
Hunter Biden is the cocaine bear. I forgot that was a movie. That won't be making
it. Came out
list.
This year, yeah. So, yeah, we are going to talk about our favorite movies of the, and least favorite movies of the year so far.
I'm going to do a mid-year report, which means movies that were released up until the 30th of June.
I mean, okay. And as well as that, we're going to talk about what I think has become our favorite movie of the year. We saw a preview screening of Mission Impossible 7.
It's not called that. Full title, please.
Sorry, Mission Impossible X.
No, come on. Mission Impossible
Dead Reckoning Part 1. M-I-D-R-1.
They dropped the numbers after 3.
Okay.
It's MI-1-2-3, then... GP, Ghost Protocol, RN, Rogue Nation.
Whenever I want to see the full cast, I'm going to Google MI7. I'm never going to do that full.
I just know I don't have to Google the cast.
Yeah, you know, everyone. It is an incredible cast.
It's incredible. Wow. But yeah, I think
and
just
speaking of that cast.
I just think we don't have to talk about that movie because... we're obviously going to talk about that movie, but I think
we're
going to
talk about that movie the rest of the year.
It's unfair to include it in the other, first 6 months just because like we're not going to talk about any other movie. So it's kind of like by design.
Yeah. So we're going to do a spoiler-free-ish review in PayFam tonight.
Just because we know this doesn't come out till the weekend.
At least. I think it comes out maybe next weekend.
It comes out
weekend.
Sunday in America.
Okay, right.
It comes out Saturday in Australia,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. And I saw it a week ago and Monday. So I've done two screenings.
So like last Friday and then Monday.
Thursday,
yeah,
I saw
sure.
it Thursday and Monday.
Thursday you saw it with 4 other people.
In a huge, huge multiplex cinema. And I didn't enjoy the experience as much because like there were NDAs, Paramount people were coming around and like checking my ID and stuff. It was really weird.
Every 10 minutes,
making sure I hadn't put a face mask on. I printed off a mask. And then on the Monday with a full packed room, but not at a cinema. It was like at a convention center in Sydney. So I haven't seen it in my optimal viewing, but no, that's a lie. I mean, we'll get to the story in a sec, but we saw it. Tom Cruise came out and introduced the film, which for anyone who's listened to like a sample size of these episodes, a sample amount of HeyFam, y'all know what that motherfucker means to us. You know what that guy means to me.
Especially you. Like, I like, you know.
I've unabashedly loved Tom Cruise for the longest time since I was a teenager. Maybe earlier. I think Top Gun when I was like a kid. Loved Top Gun. But then when I rediscovered Rain Man as like a 12-year-old, I thought that was like the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah.
And then the hits start coming. Magnolia. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like Eyes Wide Shut. I love because it's just, I don't have to go into it, but the guy fucking is a goat. I remember, I think my first Tom Cruise film at a cinema was Mission Impossible 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Eyes Wide Shut. But yeah, it was just... not Eyes Wide Shut. What am I talking about? That was R-rated. I meant to say Vanilla. Vanilla Sky.
Yeah. I remember seeing Days of Thunder when I was like 8.
Yes, that's another one I saw as a kid. Yep.
And Top Gun as well,
the LaserDisc is up there.
Yep, amazing. And like when the stripper scene, my mom was like, don't tell your dad I let you see this.
Tell your dad I'm letting you experience art.
I feel like there's a lot of things that like... you're really into that I'll be like not dubious of, but I'm like, oh, that's one of Angus's things.
Yeah.
And some like, you know, you've gotten me into Star Wars, but Star Wars has been slipping hard.
Star Wars for you is not a religion like me.
No,
where
totally.
I'm like, I need to know everything. You're at a point where I think you can pick and choose stuff and be like, I'll engage with this.
You better believe I'm not choosing shit in the next year.
You know, watching Ahsoka?
Fuck no.
Damn, dude.
Yeah,
I feel
I'm
for you.
So good.
But
The Tom Cruise, and I feel like it was doing all of the Missions Impossible during lockdown.
Yeah.
Around the same time that he started doing big screen, big movie, loved
Tenet.
It, about Tenet.
When he was doing, because there's one guy that like, I think took the novel coronavirus worse than anybody. It was Tommy Cruise. The guy had a couple blockbusters in the pipeline and... This man is like born to entertain. Like, you know, this isn't an episode where we're going to talk about his private life and his estranged children or ex-wives, but
we like to separate the kids from the artist.
We separate. Well, he's already done that for us, but you know, we're not talking about that today. That's next week's episode. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to talk about that. That's what your daily rags do, you know?
But wait, he's 61. We were at his birthday. We watched him turn 61. Tom Cruise actually born on the 3rd of July.
The movie lied.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, as an entertainer, I don't think there's anybody who's contributed more to the like later half of last century and early this century in filmmaking than like anyone else. Like, and this guy is a producer now. Like, I know that he's an actor and stuff, but like, when you really break it down, you're like, this guy, like, he's produced co-produced the last few MI films, produced this one whole, like, this is a Tom Cruise production.
And he came out with Christopher McQuarrie, who directed this one and the
his
last
two. His artistic partner.
And they are like a couple.
They are. They
finish each other's sentences.
They live together, their families, like Chris McQuarrie's family. And they're like, we've lived together for years, essentially. Like, because they make so many movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That they like are living together.
I really want to find out how much of Top Gun Maverick McQuarrie actually did.
He did a huge rewrite. He's got a writing credit.
Mm-hmm. But how much directing do you reckon he did?
I don't know. Because people theorize it feels on that, right? Odd that like it's not a McQuarrie film, because the other guy made Tron Legacy and Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fine, good movies. But like Maverick is like some fucking insane pocket rocket of a film.
I reckon the other guy just filmed the weird romantic scenes.
He did the... No, I think that was all Tom. Just the shirts on, pants on, over the jacket. Yeah. Titty holds.
Weird that he didn't ask what's her name if there was a baby in her stomach.
I know. I didn't go to Jennifer Connelly. Is there a baby in there?
There's a baby in
there. It was crazy because Maverick for a long time was like the only thing I didn't like about Maverick was that like, no, it was kind of charming. Just like two old people upstairs canoodling. But then Fast X came out and I was like, oh no, that seems completely fine. It didn't have Tom Cruise like kind of asking in a roundabout way how babies are made. It's just kind of what Vin Diesel does. Dude, that I was about to talk about Fast 10. We are not doing that.
We might
in this capacity.
Well, no,
not in this very capacity soon. But I don't think there's any, like, he's of a, what I meant to say was he's like the last of a kind, I think, Tom Cruise. Well, like, I don't put Leo or Brad Pitt even in that factor. Like, they're younger. I just think Tom has been there. He's had the 80s career, which was like huge career. Then the 90s career, the auteur era, you know, where he worked exclusively with like the greatest directors of a generation. And then we've had for the last 15 years, essentially, like Tom Cruise making I'm Tom Cruise and these are Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, but this is after he fell off and then had to find himself again.
So he fell off so the big fall off was publicly and not so much commercially, but publicly was War of the Worlds. Him and Spielberg fucking hit it out the park with Minority Report. He's this duo who are just like, damn, have we not worked together?
Mm-hmm.
But also look at this heat we're cooking with. Cruise has the rights for War of the Worlds, takes it to Steven Spielberg and is like, I want you to make this. They shuffle stuff around. So he makes it, I think, before Munich. I think Munich was actually going to be made first. And Tom's like, we've got to do this now. They do it. I really love War of the Worlds.
I've never seen it. I should watch it.
Dude, it's fantastic. It's like you watch it and you're like, oh, this is like Steven Spielberg's 9/11 movie. Like, it's basically that. And it's great because it's like, he's not really a hero in it.
Is that meant to sell me on it?
No, because it's like, you know, all great filmmakers, you know, react to things around them, but do it entertainingly. It's like, it's his disaster film.
Yeah. He doesn't really I've seen like some of the chaos that
it's great.
And it looks fun.
Like it's a lot of people who have watched it. I've heard like people who from New York be like, there's just scenes where like people getting out of cars and looking up and they're like, oh, it was really indicative. Very familiar to, you know, September 11 attacks. But like the press tour then gets hijacked by Tom Cruise, who, you know, the couch jumping.
Of course.
And him and Spielberg have a falling out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, but they only, I mean, again, based on like fucking film Twitter and stuff, they could have patched things up a few years ago, but it was like a pre-party for the Oscars or something around the early start of this year. There's a shot of Steven Spielberg like basically embracing Tom Cruise and saying, you saved movies, thank you. So they're fine.
Yeah. Because of movies, they're fine.
Because Maverick is essentially like saved cinema.
But even now, like I love that we've had like a, you know, we've had an okay year so far for blockbusters.
Yeah.
With a few absolute stinkers. And like, I feel like,
I mean, I guess still like technically Avatar 2 in a way is the highest grossing movie
that is
this
crazy
year, because it's like,
I don't mean from a box office point of view. I just mean from like, actually,
it feels like business as usual for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't even feel like business.
Well,
as usual.
Well, I know it just feels
year.
Like there's a bunch of films on the horizon. I think Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1,
DRPO. You're welcome. You can just say MI7 if you want.
No, thanks.
I'm just going to throw that to you. That's an option.
I think that is like the sign of like, hey, the movies are back. Like, I feel like the
Maverick
the
was, but it was like
Disney has fallen.
Olympus
superhero
has fallen.
Movies are fucking over.
Tom Cruise is here. But you know what it is? It's not only that. It's just that like less than a year ago we had Maverick, and yeah. It's just like, oh my god, Tom Cruise has bookended this phenomenal like cinema going experience with like two standout films that aren't like trying to like, I don't know, they're just here to entertain. And like,
you know what, I felt the same way about 2 years ago when Fast 9 came out.
Same, you and I did. Like, but I didn't feel the same way when Fast 10 came out. That bookending was gnarly for us. But he's like, there's no one like him. Like, this guy's making his own movies now.
And he loves cinema as much as these auteur directors, your Spielbergs and stuff. Like,
he's worked with them. So it's almost like he's by osmosis. Like, he's been basically learning how to make movies for 40, 50 years, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this guy's worked with Paul Thomas Anderson and Stanley Kubrick and Steven Spielberg in the span of like 2 years. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
that's a wild run.
And then he kind of was like, done with auteurs now. Now I'm going to put my...
I'm the auteur.
Now I'm... And he is.
I'm like, the captain now.
He's a stunt guy now.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
If you'd like...
That would
watch
be so
risky
funny
business,
if they finally introduced like a best stunt award at the
Academy
Awards.
It has to be
Awards,
like the Tom Cruise Award.
Yeah, but in the same year that John Wick 4 came out. And they're like, Tom Cruise.
Yeah. No, it has to be Tom. Like, Keanu's an amazing martial artist.
Not Keanu. I would give it to like...
Donnie Yen's incredible. Yeah, exactly, but I mean, just like... Ain't nobody riding a motorbike. Like, they're doing stunts that, like, they could hurt their leg or their arm, you know, break a bone. This guy's doing stunts that, like...
Dude, imagine if Donnie Yen was in Mission Impossible.
I mean, we've got another movie coming
out.
That
would fucking rock.
It's... Donnie Yen is he is such a highlight of John Wick 4.
In putting together a list of the movies that I've seen this year, I was reminded how much I love John Wick 4.
Same. Yeah, I went through my, like, just letterbox, because luckily for the first time, like, I've been just adding movies I watch, and I'm glad I am, because I was like, oh yeah, that was this year.
I think that would get me fully cinema filed up if I actually started logging my movies.
I just log... It's more for me, like, for this. It's more so I don't have to go on Google and type in movies of this year and then get IGN front loading it with like four MCU movies.
Yeah, it sucks.
Like, and I'm like, no, I mean like real movies that I saw.
I went through all of our episodes to see what we were talking
about.
Oh
yeah, sure. Yeah.
Which is not great because we're useless at putting
morons.
That
information. We hate SEO. should we go... What should we talk about first?
But I just want to talk about like...
Oh yeah, Tom.
Like the press... junket for
Mission
MI7.
It's been crazy,
but it's been like they ask him all about the craziest stunt he's done.
But I mean,
and
even
all the cast.
Like, moving.
But then they talk about Barbie. They talk about Oppenheimer.
And he's got such
and they
great
talk about
answers
Indiana
for
Jones
it.
As
and he
well,
loves them all
because they're talking about like, oh, you know,
cinema's
about, you know, Harrison Ford is 80, you're 60. I feel like Tom Cruise is not going to have the lull that Harrison had.
He will not be doing.
Because what's the last movie that he did where he played an original character that wasn't like a returning?
I don't know, like Shrinking or something.
Was
like,
he in Shrinking?
Oh, that's a TV show.
Oh, right.
But you know, like, what's that one with like he's on the
Anchorman
morning,
2.
He's on the morning show and he's like a serious reporter.
Oh yeah, maybe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know. That's
but
a crazy question.
I feel like Tom Cruise is going to act himself to death.
Yeah, he said he wants to still be doing this until he's 80, like bare minimum.
Yeah.
Which I believe and fully, because he looks 41 at the moment.
So that's we got 20 more years of that, at
essentially.
Least, until he catches up to Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But
don't worry, Harrison's going to be General Ross.
Of course. He doesn't know what Red Hulk is, but he's going to be General Ross.
I love Harrison Ford and I love his answers.
I forgot that he's going to be in the MCU.
So did he.
That's so like, dumb.
He's like, what is that? No, I'm kind of like good on him. Like he's just like getting his money.
I'm saying it's dumb because I'm going to have to watch it after.
Oh yeah. We're going to have to watch things. That movie. Dude. Yeah. That's like, that's outrageous.
I can't wait for them to explain who Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character is.
They won't.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. But he's just, he loves movies. And this press tour, I haven't seen anything like it for so long. Like they're doing like basically every cap city in the world. Like you've seen them, like they've been everywhere.
Yeah. And so, all right, we got invited to, well, I didn't get invited. Angus got invited. And as always, our friend Noon got invited and he brought
me. No, he didn't get invited.
Oh, sorry. His wife got invited.
Yes.
And he RSVP'd on her behalf and brought me.
Yeah. At my direction.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because he's like, do you want to come? I was like, we'll take Levins. I'm like, obviously. I'm like, I didn't know you had a spare. You should have asked him straight away.
And it was, so it was cocktail dress. So it was suits out. And
it was at this place in Sydney called the ICC, which is like I said, a convention center.
International Convention Center, which, and they just hosted like the day before SmashCon.
Oh, wow.
Which
you know
what? Was
a
massive anime conference.
I knew that because a bit of backstory. The day before this, actually, let's go back a little bit.
Let's keep
the day
going
before.
All the way back.
The reason why I watched Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 so early was because I interviewed some of the cast members on Sunday, and that was at like 3 p.m. And I had a call like time or whatever. So I showed up there. So this big, like famous hotel by Circular Quay, which is where the Sydney Opera House is, the Harbour Bridge.
Which hotel?
The Park Hyatt.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
So, and that's where like the Avatar one, that's where they do, it's because when they film it, they get the Harbour Bridge and like ferries. They get the Opera House and stuff behind them. So it just like looks so nice compared to most.
Because I'm taking B to Pier 1 for her birthday.
Oh, that's near there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tight. But as I'm walking from the train, I'm like going through the questions in my head. I'm like, oh man, I haven't really had a weekend just because like I had this like interview looming, and so I was kind of like working on it at any time. And these two black vans pull up and Tom Cruise gets out. And that's why I filmed and sent to you straight away. I was just like 10 meters from Tom Cruise. It was insane.
So what was he doing, a junket, or was he just staying
at
the hotel?
So I guess they were all staying at the hotel, but he showed up at that exact time, which I guess was turnover time for the interviews, and they all got like a cast photo in front of a banner with the backdrop of the opera house, and then like everyone dispersed, and then I went in and interviewed them and he went elsewhere. But I was just like, I was quite, you know, I was nervous like doing interviews with like
Hayley Atwell,
Pom Klementieff, and Simon Pegg.
Yep.
So,
and they all loved Angus's Crocs.
They all mentioned my Crocs. Yeah, yeah. It was really great.
Simon Pegg said that he tried to get them, but they were sold out.
And I was like, sorry.
And these are the Crocs that I've previously described as looking like a prolapse.
I said that to Hayley Atwell.
Oh, good.
And I was like, why? I felt so... I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, I love your Crocs. I'm like, yeah, they're pretty like prolapse looking, aren't they? And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, why? I was like,
That's
Angus
so
1, Steve Rogers 0. Who ordered all the calamari? I can't believe that wasn't my first question. Were you in the booth when fucking Winter Soldier dropped where the calamari was? Keep forgetting she's in the MCU.
Man.
She's barely in it.
After this movie that
she's
just
not
saw,
in the MCU.
Exactly.
She's in the TCU.
She's wiped clean.
She's in the TCU, yeah, baby. Yeah. But funny enough,
she's repented.
Dude, she's in Endgame for a second.
What?
Maybe she's like dancing with Cap at the end as an old woman or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So she's in the second highest grossing movie of all time, doing less work than like anyone else. That's awesome for her. She probably gets like residuals for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she, get out.
No, yeah, wait. So she's in the MCU.
She's in Cap 1.
Cap 1.
Dead as Cap 2 when she's like old.
Old, yeah, yeah.
And then like fucking Cap starts like smashing her daughter.
No, she dies in Civil War. I don't think she's in Winter Soldier.
Oh, no, I think she's in a hospital bed. You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
And then
yeah,
they go to the funeral in Civil War. Yeah. She's not in it. It's just a photo of her.
Right. But then they did a spin-off series.
Agent Carter.
And
which I didn't watch.
I watched two episodes of it.
There's like a butler in it who ended up being in...
Endgame,
yeah, in Jarvis. The like Stark...
The original Jarvis. Yeah. Sorry, the other day I was telling B about like that I'm not watching Secret Invasion. I'm done with the MCU. I can't believe it.
I love that. That's like...
And she was like, what? Why? And one, it's because I don't want dad to babysit the kids and me have to say, when he asks what we're doing, that we're going to see another Marvel movie. Because
I think that's
he
so
lost
funny.
So much respect for me.
I love
me.
That you're so scared of that, like that scenario.
And then two, I just, you know, I can't do it anymore. And she was like, I can't believe this is where you tap out. We watched all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, that was like eight seasons of it. And I was like, yeah, but that was fun. Even when it was stupid, it was fun.
Sure.
Now, like Secret Invasion
is she like
the
sad?
Least fun thing ever. No, she hasn't watched shit. She didn't even watch Black Panther 2 or like all the movies that you and me have seen together.
You're telling me she didn't watch Moon Knight?
She didn't watch the second
Moon
Knight.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous.
She was refused to. She was like, it looks like a horror thing. I'm not watching it. I don't like horror.
And you're like, no, it's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge difference. It sucks. You'd probably like it.
So rude.
But also Hayley Atwell is in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. She gets chopped in half, remember?
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah. She gets a fucking shield to the stomach. Yeah, that's hectic.
She gets a prolapsed stomach.
Yeah, but so then I was fine. So seeing Tom Cruise get out of the van put me at ease. So I was already on like a...
You're like, dad's here, it's fine.
I felt like immediately seeing Tom Cruise... I was like, oh, these guys will be fine. Like, I was nervous because I was like, man, these guys are like famous actors, and they've been between the handful of them. Like fucking Pom and her have been in Endgame. You know what I mean? I'm like, and then there's Simon Pegg, who's like a guy I've been watching since Paul Simon Pegg. And it was just like, man, these guys are fans. And then I got there and I was like, oh, there's Tom Cruise. I'm like, no, they're nobody. Like, they are, but it really put me at ease.
Yep.
So I was already on like crazy. It was the stupidest 12 hours because then the next 24 hours, because then it was like the premiere. And I was like, fuck, I've already seen this movie. Like, that's pretty insane that like we're going to this premiere. And I'm like, got some notes that I needed to double check some lines of dialogue and stuff. You know what I mean? Mm. And it was like already bizarre. But yeah, you're right. We get there and it's like, I've seen the only one other thing at the ICC, Hideo Kojima speak for an hour. So I've now seen Tom Cruise and Kojima in the same building. And I'm like, tell you what, that might be my favorite place in Sydney.
You're their commonality. Like the thing,
I'm the guy they have in common. Yeah. It's not the toilets here. It's not the catering.
And now a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
So I get there, like, I was, first of all, I missed the first 5 minutes of MI7 because I was buying Everybody 1-2 Switch from the local EV Games.
You know what, but I also, for context for everyone that's not from Sydney or whatever, this is in Darling Harbour. And if you've seen the original Power Rangers movie, it's where the final scene
is. Of course, yeah.
I think it's like fireworks going off. So, you know, Sydney is famously a city by the water. Mm-hmm. So you're surrounded by water. It's a winter night, but things are lit up. But it wasn't raining when I went here. It was like quite lovely. But there is more people I've seen there than I've ever seen.
I think 3,000 people.
I'd say like minimum 3,000, yeah.
When I got there, you guys had just gotten in after lining up for about 45 minutes.
Yeah. I drove and so my parking started at like 5 something. So I was like, I'll just drive in. I've got a suit. Like, I don't want to like public transport it and we'll just go line up. And by the time I got there, there was like thousands of people already, and it was like, it looked like the Oscars or something, right?
It was crazy, except all there were like no stars. until the biggest star in the world showed up. But yeah, like it was weird. I feel like there wasn't a level of like B-grade Australian celebrities there that I was expecting either,
which was kind of,
so it was like half press, but then there was a separate, so everyone on the upper level, were on sale. Right?
You bought
the upper level of that theater was all, you could buy tickets to.
Yeah, I'd say maybe a quarter of the tickets.
Yeah.
And the rest was like invite.
And we got like canapes.
Dude, it was like the best wedding I've been to. That's how I've been describing it to people. It's like the best wedding I've been to in ages. We were like an hour before the movie started. Everyone's in cocktail wear. There's just like, you know, pretty decent as far as movie premieres that we've been to together, canapes. Like, this was no Chris Hemsworth box of
way better than all the ones that we've done.
That's what I mean. It was like so much better. There was like
Fox Studios
things you would actually want to go back to. It was like wedding food.
Those like lamb shoulder sliders.
It was great.
Really good.
Like Fox Studios, take note.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was like,
you know, done by a proper catering company. So
totally.
That was actually,
and you know what? You know who's paying for it all?
Tom.
TC.
Yeah.
100% he's paying for it.
Cut the check.
It's Tom Cruise production, baby. And this is a man who resided in Sydney for a while.
So there was like a fireworks display at some point.
So I saw a video of it. He like lit a fuse. Like,
yeah, because it was also an event that like people from the public just watched.
It's already in a place with a lot of foot traffic. Yeah. People were leaving work and just going like, what? Tom Cruise? But
there were like thousands of people watching this red carpet.
It was crazy.
And so, yeah, we were inside by the time all the stars actually rocked up. There's all these windows
everywhere. Like,
so suddenly we see fireworks and we kind of rush over and yeah, Tom Cruise is like lit a fuse.
Lit a fuse. And also at this point, it's his birthday. Like, it's literally his actual birthday.
So the whole time we're
this is the most, we're going to like nothing will compete with this as far as movie premieres go.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Nothing's going to come close.
Especially because of like, I had no idea. Like, I've been in ICC before, but I didn't know that there was a theater in there.
Same. I guess it felt like kind of, I guess, lecture hall-ish. You know what I mean? Like, so the seats weren't that comfortable.
There's like thousands of people like crammed to the lobby just wondering what the fuck are we going to do?
It was pretty weird, wasn't it? Like, there was no sign or time.
Especially like, there were so many moments. Like, so you guys kind of like saw that I was trying to get a drink. Well, your girlfriend was getting me a drink. I didn't realize.
But then I had her phone, so I couldn't contact her.
Oh my God.
So then I yelled to her, just like, I'm going in to get our seats. So I was getting you, me.
Noon.
Noon was with me. So him and I got seats. We're minding like all four.
And so I come in trying to find you guys. And we were in like
shit position.
And I called Noon, and Noon's like, yeah, it's a shit fight. We don't have a seat for you. And I was like, oh, okay. He goes, yeah,
had a row.
I'll see you after the show, after the movie. And I was like, what the fuck, Nunes?
So, no, we had a seat. Yeah, we had a seat.
But then he called me and he was like, oh, actually, we do have a seat. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, but the thing was like...
Because I was like, I'd sat down and was like, well, I guess I'm watching this by myself.
Fuck. But the other thing is like, we had pretty shit position because of like the shit show it was getting in.
Yeah, my neck hurt after.
Then it paid off because we were like... Maybe pretty, 6 meters from Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but to the side. So it was hosted by the one and only Richard Wilkins. Who
How would you describe Richard Wilkins on like an international level? Like Alan Partridge for British people.
Yeah, but I feel like he's...
American. He's like an entertainment like reporter.
A white Steve Harvey.
Now, Steve Harvey's like funny though. You know, like Steve Harvey's got bits.
Yeah, yeah. Richard Wilkins doesn't have bits.
He's
bit not
is
really
that
charismatic either.
No, he's not.
His bit is that he's just been... interviewing celebrities his entire life.
Yeah, he's like kind of just a bit dour. It's kind of weird because he looks like he should be fun. He's got silly hair and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's like just yeah, he
looks like the CGI host of the PS2 quiz
yes,
game
Buzz. You're right.
Brought to life.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Anyway,
and he's been doing this for as long as I can remember.
And so he came out and he's got a co-host who had some girl,
yeah, some
who
girl.
Was like 20 years younger than him.
Oh, bare minimum.
Who got maybe 3 words in over the course of the entire
night. And they were just like, she was just repeating everything he said.
Because
I was like, oh, Tom will probably come out and say, enjoy the movie. And that's it. Like, I'm like, they've done all their press shots downstairs. There was video camera. There were TV stations.
You know, and to give Richard Wilkins a compliment, Tom Cruise was... So he brings Tom Cruise out first. Everyone's like, whoa, holy shit, it's Tom motherfucking Cruise.
It's pretty weird.
And Richard Wilkins, because he's been interviewing celebrities his entire life, has probably interviewed Tom Cruise 50
like times.
Yeah. And so Tom knows him.
Hugs him,
and then he becomes the host.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise starts introducing...
It's a Tom Cruise
Christopher
keynote.
McQuarrie, and then all the people that Angus...
brings out Hayley Atwell, Palm, Simon Pegg.
But like...
It becomes a keynote.
But Richard Wilkins and this other chick are like interviewing Tom Cruise, like saying, you know, what do you think about Sydney?
Yeah, man.
And
I was
he goes, oh... Big screen.
No, he goes, he's like, what do you think? How do you like Sydney? He's like, I love it here. And she's like, what do you love about it? He's like, great people, amazing food, big screens. It's just like, it was amazing. It was like the Tom Cruise shit that you and I have been saying since like Tenet stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just like, it was, so, you and I, we were in hysterics, weren't we? Like, we were like, I was like a girl at a One Direction concert.
Do you know why Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise actually split up?
I don't know, but I can't wait to hear why.
She don't care about my big screen.
Oh, damn.
Or my collection of DVDs.
Damn, that's it. She's not a film buff.
Oh, wait. But then it goes, she likes me for me.
And of course, there was a lull. I was waiting for a lull. I wasn't actually waiting, but this is like before Tom had brought out any of the other actors. And I don't know, man.
He was
like,
cannot believe I was near you for this.
He was like 6 to 8 meters in front of me. There was a pause.
We're talking like there are thousands of people in this room.
Everyone's quiet.
Everyone's
at this
like,
point.
And so they're like, you know, it's your birthday, and
well, they didn't even say that yet. I said it first, like before it was even brought up.
No. So everyone was aware that it was your.
They
his
were,
birthday.
But the host hadn't said it yet.
Right. Okay. No. Like the host had mentioned something about it being his
sure.
birthday, and then there was a pause, and then you just yell out, "Happy birthday, Tom!" And Tom Cruise looks straight at Angus.
And he's like close enough that he can see me.
And goes, thank you.
Thank you so much. Dude, I was already on cloud 9.
I could not believe. And like, it is like, you know, you are like.
That's lore now. That's like a Hey Fam lore that Tom Cruise.
But you are like, you know, you're an introvert.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I don't yell at stars.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. I was like a teenage girl at a One Direction concert. I never like freak out over people.
You met the Beatles.
Also, like a lot of my job is like working with, I see people who are like recognizable a lot. And to me, it's just like, everyone's just doing their job. Like, you know
exactly,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't
care
about it. Like,
yeah.
And then seeing Tom Cruise, I became like his fucking Harry Styles fan, Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy birthday. Actually, we got the audio here.
Yeah, you just got to play it.
Yeah. It's all time shit, isn't it?
Like, yeah, the fact that he just responded
immediately.
It was such an amazing moment.
Views are amazing.
That's me, Noon, and Levin's laughing at everything. And
oh, man, I was dying.
So she just said to him then, what do you love about Sydney?
Yeah.
And then I started filming.
Amazing. The food's amazing. The views are amazing. Big screens are amazing.
Yeah. Woo! Happy birthday, Tom! He stares at the barrel of the camera.
Thanks so much. Dude, I didn't care if that was it and the movie was over.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Then the fact we got to watch the fucking movie.
Man.
That crowd was amazing. Every time one of the actors came on their first scene.
No, that crowd sucked shit. That crowd, remember like
how. Oh,
like,
no. Yeah, you're
right. The movie hadn't to like get to the ride at the end of the night.
Credits hadn't started.
Present, like the movie was like wrapping up, but it was far from over. And yeah. People were just standing. Like I reckon like a few hundred people like left before the movie was over.
So fucked.
The disrespect,
but
man.
The cheering anytime like someone came on screen.
Right, yeah. Any, especially like, anyone that they'd seen
yeah, that was really
before
nice.
The screening. Yeah. So yeah, they. Tom introduces Chris McQuarrie. They have this awesome chat about the movie.
And Tom was like, you know, this man has made movies with me for 16 years, essentially. Like, he was part of MI3 even, like, writing stuff, Ghost Protocol even, like, uncredited, and has been, like, basically there. And I think, like, over time, and this is, like, Tom's out of the auteur era, and now he's like, I'm now working with someone who is kind of, like, yes, they're an artistic person in their own right, but they're also, like, my director
mm-hmm.
and does what I want them to do. I don't know. It's bizarre. It's yeah. not bizarre. It's just like a cool pairing.
Yeah, totally. And like, yeah, they were, it was so nice watching them talk to each other. Like, they're
so different.
Yeah, totally.
But there's just this mutual respect. And
only thing I didn't like about the energy was that it felt very G-rated. They like, none of them were like, they were like, what the heck? And stuff like that.
I just don't
that.
Think Tom, probably,
oh gosh.
Probably a Tom rule.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just like, no swearing on set. Okay. Though he does say prick in Fallout. Mm. Yeah. Prick.
But then they introduce, and like, so once Chris and Tom are on stage together, they become the co-hosts together.
They're running it.
And like, so Richie Wilkins' other chick is just like
useless.
And every time he tries to talk, like the other, they just talk over him. Yeah. Politely talk over him.
Tom's amazing. He just kept coming out just being like, it's amazing to see you all. Like to us.
And
like he would stop mid-sentence and just be like, so good to see you all out of the movies. Like it was just speaking in Tom Cruise.
And so like, they're like, oh, let's bring on the next guest. And he was like, yes, yes. This,
yeah, I've read some of it.
This woman is she's an amazing actor.
Oh shit! Yeah, every person that was there, best actor in the world,
amazing actor. He just described all the constant.
When he introduced Palm, and he's like, "It's the only person who can sing the theme songs with their name."
Yeah, that was Chris, right?
He's so intimate. I want to be like.
Palm's dress was wild too.
Yeah, she's so cool.
Yeah.
That was amazing. It was amazing. To see how much an audience enjoys it. I make my movies for you all. All my movies I make.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm dreaming and I'm thinking about this experience and to see how much you all enjoy it, that's such a gift.
You got us all back in the cinema. I mean, Top Gun Maverick brought us all back in the cinema, which is...
I mean, is there anything better than everyone together watching a movie?
I mean, fucking preaching to the choir, Tom. Like, this is all I do. I see like 3 or 4 a week, you know?
Yeah, that's...
Actually, after the interview, I went straight back to watch Dial of Destiny
on really?
Sunday. Well, I hadn't seen... I went to see it in multiplex.
Oh, yeah,
we went
to see it with actual
with sound.
Sound.
Yeah, it was great.
So that was like my big thing going into this screening was like, shit, what is the audio going to be like?
The sound was great.
Yeah, I'd like to see more movies.
Yeah, I thought really the sound good. Was great. The screen was, is the letdown.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, yeah. Our angle was not great.
That's
but
true.
I can't wait to go watch this on like a day bed at like a multiplex.
I'm seeing it again on Monday.
I'm going to go Saturday or Sunday. So like we haven't spoken about how we think of the movie. Obviously we like it.
Yeah,
but we'll get into more detail about
but
it.
But yeah, so yeah. And then anyway, they finally get to it after introducing Haley and Palm and saying what amazing actors they are.
They're both amazing actors and they both do their own stunts. And
yeah.
they're both people they've been both wanting to work with for so long.
Then they introduce someone that you're all familiar with. And then you hear Simon Pegg's voice going like, oh, just wait a moment.
Wait a second.
Just give me 2 seconds.
Classic Benji, wasn't it?
And I thought he was doing a bit, but actually he was lighting sparklers on a cake that he wheeled out.
It was like a black cake that said, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1.
And had sparklers in it. Tom. And then everyone finally got to sing Happy Birthday to Tom Cruise.
It's fucking insane. Dude, that story is insane.
My favorite part of that was that everyone in the cinema said, Happy birthday, dear Tom. Except D goes, Happy birthday, Tom Cruise.
Oh, I wish I said that. That's funny. Way better.
That's like the highlight of my night.
Happy birthday. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, that's Tom Cruise. I kept freaking. I was just like, that's Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. And he noticed you, senpai.
Dude, that is the hottest bit of Hey Fam lore. That's like that's our new Kevin Smith.
I love your Instagram post about it.
Yeah, I did the rap TV.
Was it you're fucking with it or something? You're rocking.
Yeah, they
with
always
it?
End it. They have you. You know that page?
Yeah, of course.
They're
yeah,
like
yeah.
they're like Drake just had a like blah blah. You're rocking with it. It's just like and they always use the like question mark emoji and the like exclamation point one. I'm obsessed with that. I study their social media because it's so absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. So an insane experience before the movie even started. And
then we're like, oh God, we got to watch a movie now.
Yeah. And I forgot to look up how long this movie was going to be.
I think it's the longest one.
Yeah. And it was only because I was uncomfortable looking up at the screen.
So we were maybe three rows from the front, extreme left of the screen and next
to the point when if anyone was on the far right of
that
the
was
screen
small. The right, it looked the, like the, fucking the,
yeah
it looked like Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings when they had like the you know like the depth stuff.
It looked like it looked like they were beaming in Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah, they looked like a little Axel's head floating. Yeah. So I'm like you know the good thing about seeing it on
it looks like they look like
like the Flash going
MODOK.
Back in time.
MODOK.
It looks like MODOK. The best thing about seeing it on the Thursday with the four other people was I got there first and just sat like dead center.
Great. Dead reckoning.
Second, like center of the cinema.
Yep.
I was like, perfect. And then so this one, I would have been pissed if I hadn't seen it first.
I think like I've not thought about anything else since watching this movie.
It's so fun. And
it's
probably, yeah, we drank the Kool-Aid, but this, like what Tom says, like, this is what movies are about. You know what I mean? And it just like puts to shame. Oh, wow.
Siri's about to yell at you.
It just puts to shame anything else that I've seen in so long. Like it is the end. And I don't want to like rag on it or say like whatever, but this is like literally the antithesis to the experience. And what I also think is the final product of that I had with Fast 10.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is fucking nothing here is real.
We're going to be ranking a lot of things tonight. But
Vin and Tom, very similar guys in terms of like control freaks.
Yep.
Auteurs who do, but one is really good and famous and like well renowned for it. And the other is also that except the not really good part. And that's Vin Diesel, I think.
I think first ranking of the night is ranking 2023 movies that end with to be continued in part two at the end.
Sure, which is most movies we've seen.
So I would say at the bottom, Fast 10.
Yeah.
Worst cliffhanger. So stupid.
I'd put Across the Spider-Verse next.
Number two. Yeah. Like I think the only thing that I'm disappointed is that they didn't admit to it being part one in the title. I know.
Well, they did originally.
I know.
But then they didn't, which I think cool.
It's a
like,
coward's
and
move.
The best thing about this, it's kind of the inverse in a way. It has part one. It's the first fucking thing you see on the screen, essentially.
But it's also a complete feeling movie.
Yeah. It has a... It reminds me a lot. And I said this to you when we left. Reminds me of like the Two Towers where you like, you know, there's a third one coming in that scenario. You know, the story's not done, but it still felt like a whole film. Like mm-hmm. the way it was structured, there was a beginning, a middle, and a big end.
It doesn't end, and this is not a spoiler, but it doesn't end on a like, how
a
are they
dam
gonna,
about to
how are
up.
They going to get out of this one?
Yeah, it like, doesn't it, end on a
like,
dun, dun,
everything
dun.
Wraps up, but like, you know, there's still characters that
for the first time it can be continued, yeah, unlike yeah. the other films where it's neatly wrapped up. And exactly. I guess that was in their like standalone, like can we do Bond essentially era, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now they're like, fuck it, let's do. And like I was very worried before I saw it, being like, oh, this part one, it's so weird, like they don't have to do it. But after seeing it, I'm like, oh no, that's sick, because like it means they can just, I mean, you know, pun intended, hit the ground running for the next one.
Yeah,
like we know what the stakes are, we know who the players are, just start the movie. And that, like, I think is one whole film. It's going to be huge. Like watching part one and part two back to back is going to be our generation's
incredible
Godfather.
6 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I cannot wait. No, I agree. It's the best of the part twos. Part to be continued.
And have they filmed any of the next
it's done.
One yet?
What? Yeah.
It's done.
It's coming out June. It's already got a release date. It's
another reason why it's
remember
the best
all the
cliffhanger
footage
of
him on the plane. Like,
yeah,
that, that's
course.
All for that.
Yeah, right.
He still said they're still finishing it, like editing it and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's all shot.
But like, yeah, like
they started shooting it like 2019. Spider-Verse
anyway,
ain't coming out for like
done,
3 years.
And they haven't even started Fast 11.
No, they're still brainstorming with Han in the Guam Islands or something. Vin Diesel is like so funny, man. I love him. But he's like, he wants to be Tom Cruise, production company stuff. But he just like, first of all, he looks like shit compared to Tom.
Yeah, and he's 10 years younger than him.
He's 10 years younger than him. And also like...
Is he? No, actually he's not. He's like 5 years younger than
him. Yeah, he's very like...
He's like 56, right?
Yeah, and he's just like... He has a charisma, but he's not charismatic, if you catch my drift.
Well, he's a dumbass. That's yeah. his main
Well,
problem.
I don't think he is. I think like he wants to be a tough guy. I think he's like a thespian.
Right.
But he like presents, he codes himself as a dumbass.
Yeah, okay. A meathead. Vin Diesel's age is 55 years.
Very close. So he's 6 years younger.
Yep.
Which is insane.
I would love to celebrate his birthday with him one day.
This is about Vin Diesel.
Happy birthday, Vin.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I mean, they both like, they're very like iconic at red carpets. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And also like there's a lot of similarities in like the Rome,
this film even.
The Rome connection.
Well, I think what's a great thing about
was this weird that none of the characters said
Roman noodles.
I guess I'm going to Rome.
I was waiting for Ving to say to Ving Rhames to say to Benji, the only Rome you know is Roman noodles. But it's very funny because like you can literally take those two scenes from the film, play them next to each other and be like, everything that's wrong about one and great about the other is present in those scenes.
Yeah, totally.
Because I was watching a featurette today about the Mission Impossible Rome car chase. And this isn't, you know, we won't say a spoiler. You've seen in the trailer, there's like a Lupin the Third reference.
I was so excited, man.
There was Fiat 500.
They pretty much, drive around. Tom Cruise and Hayley Atwell drive around in Lupin the Third.
It's in the trailer.
Yellow Fiat. But like I noticed it in the trailer, but they didn't make the connection. And so like you were so deep in the movie and I was like, Angus, trying to yell over D. And I was like,
she was like, you can't.
It's Lupin. Yeah, she was like, don't even bother.
I was like Lenny when he's reading the awards.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I'd seen the movie, I was just like,
car.
But great sequence. But they did it all during COVID. And so like, that's why they had access to all those streets.
Oh, crazy.
And they're just like driving around doing it all. And they're like, everything is real. And I was like, a lot of car chases, they will put in CG cars besides the one that's got the characters in it just because it's safer.
Yeah.
But in the behind the scenes, it's just, every car is chasing them. Like, hectic. It's just like, how the fuck do they do this?
Yeah. And it's such a good chase. And it's not like...
It's so hard to do good car chases now with CG because I know that the stakes aren't there. Like, yes, the visual artists are amazing, but there's something that's just not as thrilling as seeing people drive and smash a car. You know what I mean? There's some visceral feeling and like...
Well, Fast 10 really takes advantage of like the things that you can do with CGI, but in a bad way.
Yeah, like the ping-ponging of the like bomb around. And the zoom from all the windows.
Yes, exactly.
And the ignition and then like going through the
car.
And
like drone shots where it will go like underneath the car and above. Yeah. And like, I think used sparingly, those can be cool. But it's very maximalist. Whereas this is like, so it's like quick edits and like...
Yeah. It's classic. Yeah, it's literal Buster Keaton shit.
And it's not about like effects. Fucking, you know, 9 extremely expensive cars.
No, it's about a Fiat.
Yeah, yeah. and before that, it's about a trashed...
BMW. Yeah, yeah. It's a doors ripped off. It's such... But it's like the editing, the blocking, like you know where they are every part of the chase. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, you know the distance for everyone. Like, and it's just, it's such an impeccably like...
And then Pom in that Pom's scene is so fucking good.
Just like animal style.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she's so good. Just this like fuck off truck.
Yeah.
God, it's such a good movie.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah. The new characters.
I think 6 times since Monday, you or me have either texted the other one. What a movie.
Dude, it's so good. I'm so happy that it's as good as it is. Because like, since like, you know, what that definitely goes protocol onwards. These movies have just outdone themselves. But as we know, as we see with most things in life, like there has to be a point where the magic stops.
Yeah, for sure.
And this one could have been the one because there was so much riding on it, but fucking hell.
But you know what it is though? It's because he's like, Tom Cruise has found his partner.
Yeah.
And they
probably limits
make
him.
Each other's work better.
Yeah.
I think. Or like, you know, they can communicate with each other professionally.
It's the opposite of
and as friends.
It's weird because you don't see like Tom going on Instagram and being like, the ghost of Paul Walker says you should come and do this movie with me, brother, and then deleting it, like just subtweeting his cast members when he's in the trailer next to them, but instead will post like a 4-paragraph rant about like what family means to him and just insane ramblings of like a paranoid person.
Yeah, Ving Rhames doesn't post saying that he's playing Blade.
King Rames isn't like, hell yeah, finally. That was, man, that's still my favorite post of the last 3 years on the internet. And before that, my favorite post in the 3 years prior was Tyree saying, if The Rock stars in the next Fast movie, it means his daughter will die. Still like my favorite, like, logic.
What about the Tyrese post where he was like mourning a relative and then started promoting his travel company?
He's like, if you want to fly to a funeral, yeah, you get a Voltron travel, which doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, that's
incredible.
I tried
going to the website recently when I was telling somebody about it.
Trying to buy flights.
I was trying to go to Rome for some of those Roman noodles. Man, yeah. Everyone I like doesn't like Fast 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was an absolute mess. And I did, like, there's a few, I think we'll get into it proper next week. And I want to see it again. So same. I think, which speaks volumes as to how much I liked it. Like, I think there are, I've watched movies that confuse me that I also hated, that I don't care that I don't understand that particular part of the movie.
And also remember the first Mission Impossible movie, I reckon that took me like 3 viewings. To be like, oh, now I know what's going on.
Well, the biggest thing about this movie was that, okay, I saw Mission Impossible 2 at the cinemas. Before, I think I saw Mission Impossible 1 on TV. And then I saw Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I saw Ghost Protocol. So I have seen a few of these.
I've seen them all.
But like...
At cinemas.
At the cinemas. But I hadn't... There were just a few. Like, obviously, I didn't see 3, mm-hmm. 5. Just 3 or 5 that I hadn't seen. Mm-hmm. But then I watched them all in order last year. Having also already seen Fallout and then going like, yep, Fallout's by far the best of these.
Yeah.
I think the other ones all have their merits in their own way.
Fallout's like they finally perfected it. Like they it's like a perfect blend of most of what's come before, not all of what's come
I would
before.
Say it's a perfect blend of 1 and 4.
Yeah.
with 5, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect blend of 1, 4, and 5, and also 3 with the wife storyline. And
yeah.
I think 3, J.J. Abrams produced Fallout as well, I believe. Or maybe Rogue Nation was the last one. No, he produced Fallout as well. But it's like, I think like essentially there's 1 and 2 in the auteur era. But then I'd say from 3 onwards, it becomes like the second phase of these movies where there are characters that return. Benji's in them all, you know, the white Michelle Monaghan's in them up until 6. Like there is a thing. There's a syndicate they mention and then like we see that. And yeah, like But 6 seems to be like this perfect distillation of it where it's like, you know, everyone, we're not going to introduce people. He's a great action movie.
Yeah. And like, I think this is Simon Pegg's best one.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. He feels like as like central as more than he ever has to the team. Like he's not like quippy side guy as much.
And how much like it's obviously it has a smaller like core cast than Fast does.
Mm.
But like they gave all the cast something really important to do
in the story. Most of the like there's no muffin eating scene. Yeah. Pete Davidson doesn't give him a muffin.
There's no Pete Davidson cameo.
Yeah, no one flicks like dust out of their
pocket sand.
But yeah, everyone has something to do. It's such a great ensemble cast. The only, and I guess like, you know, we'll get into more as we said, but there are parts of it where I'm like, oh, I wish I know more about this person or X's motives. But
yeah, there's a
I'm
few,
also
like
it's, this few... is half a movie is another thing I'm kind of
yeah,
being like,
you brought that up.
I'm not going to penalize it yet because I know they're cooking.
Yeah, I have like 2 or 3 like criticisms of things that I thought could have been better explained or just better done in general. But like as Angus and I were saying, like talking afterwards, like because there is that part 2 coming, I think with more context.
If this didn't have part 1 in the title, I'd be like disappointed, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But because they're literally like, this is half of it.
Well, yeah, one of them is pretty major, but we'll get to it next week. But that said, like my like gripes with, yeah, like underdeveloped characters. Not even underdeveloped is the wrong word. Just like a character in a role that I think has been done much better.
You're talking the antagonist?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Much better previously. I mean, as in immediately previously. I think Henry Cavill is
my
favorite.
I mean, Cavill and John Voight in the first one are like the best villains.
Definitely.
But then also, you know, and I guess this is like... And also fucking Solomon. The villain from 5 and 6, the one that gets like Joker...
Oh,
kidnapped.
And also fucking 3. What's his name? Like
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's
I think
incredible.
Ghost Protocol has the worst villain.
Yes. Because
to the point where it's so unmemorable...
Yeah, I mean, that movie kind of falls apart.
The first two thirds are fantastic.
Yep.
And then I a lot of people love it. It's their favorite. It's like kind of maybe in the middle for me. Because I think like the third act crumbles completely when they go to India and there's like the car park. I don't know. Yeah. I just think it like crumbles.
If it ended in Dubai, it would be one of the, it would be amazing. Top tier. Like the fight in Dubai that ends up with what's her name falling out the window.
It's incredible.
Fucking amazing.
And yeah. just like
getting into that room and that's
you know the stuff not stunts. Working and having the paper that's got the other stuff written of it in the other room and they like change the floors.
The gloves, like
they got everything about that.
And then
incredible.
Like you know how one of them doesn't work, so he's just going off one.
Like that is probably like. That's like easily top three sequences in this series.
And like I've watched so much Loop on the Third since then that like there are moments where one feels like they're referencing the other like constantly. And so to get like I'm swear to you the yellow Fiat scene
it would
is
have
like,
to be.
It's so directly.
Oh yeah, I've watched Castle of
Cagliostro. Yeah,
Cagliostro. That's you know one of the great car chases of all time is in that.
Yeah, yeah. I was losing my mind at that. But I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
And also, like, the character dynamics between some of the characters is very similar, too.
Yeah, like, yeah. We can't say too much, but we'll put a spoiler part later in the episode. Or
I reckon we'll spoil it. We'll do it next week.
Yeah.
Full spoilers.
But the new cast members, just, I think they're amazing. I think they're, like, some of the best characters in this series. And it brings something that we haven't seen before.
So, like, I think one of the best things about Fallout is I was like, oh, wow, Henry Cavill's the best.
Yes.
And in this one, it's, oh, wow, Hayley Atwell is the best.
Yeah, like 100%.
I was already a massive fan of Pom, you know, even
she's
the
amazing as
movies.
Mantis. She's like and one of the strongest parts of the Guardians.
Definitely. And
films.
Like and you can tell because they kept increasing her role more and
she went from like a kind of side bit character to like, you know, huge in Infinity War, huge in 3, huge, like they really like built made her like
and she pretty much is the her and Drax like the main stars of the special
and their chemistry is amazing.
But yeah, she's
Great.
She's like phenomenal.
And very different to Mantis.
Yes, totally. And Hey Fam favorite. In fact, we should maybe think about changing the name of the podcast to Shay Fam.
Just
Shay Wiggum fucking rules in the his strongest performance in one of these.
Just like,
and it's not because he acted badly in the past, just they give him so much to do in this.
And he just chews that fucking scenery,
so
doesn't
good.
He?
God he is, damn it, he rules
I love
in
that,
this
man.
Movie.
Dude, he is like one of the greatest actors of all time.
I love him so much
Same.
In this. Like
Cause like you don't I don't know. You love him even though you're like, I don't want you doing this. You know what I mean? Like he's kind of hunting people that you or something. And he's like, no.
You don't want him to win, but also, but then he's.
Well, no, you can't say anything.
He's Zenigata from Loop on the Third.
Oh,
he's the
cop. Like one step behind.
Exactly, but you still want him to have some kind of a win, just like, not the win where he stops the hero.
Just one of the best to do it.
Yeah,
I fucking love that dude.
Fuck, it was such a great movie. It was such a good night to be. I'm so happy I was there. Imagine fucking.
Dude, if you weren't there, I would have been devastated.
You telling me about this now? Like, oh yeah, I said happy birthday to Tom.
You'd be like,
and I'd be like, no, you didn't, you fucking liar.
If you were, yeah, no, I did. I said happy birthday to Tom. He said, thanks so much.
And I'm like, no, you've done that with AI. I know you can do
you
that.
You were there. So, you sat as 2 seats away from me.
Couldn't believe
Man,
it.
Man, I was just so relieved it was good because, like, I love the Fast movies. I also know that they're movies where I can like switch my brain off.
Yep.
But the Mission Impossible movies, they've just like, they're such a fascinating saga. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're insane. Like, you know what? Like we were saying before, Tom Cruise had his auteur era. That was smack bang in the middle of those first two films. John Woo, like one of the most profitable Eastern directors, you know, coming to the West at that point, had made like Face off the back of all these like huge films. And obviously Brian De Palma, like an auteur. But then from like 3 onwards, he's like, I'm going to get people that I work with and kind of, I tell them what to do.
Yeah, totally.
So fascinating.
Yeah, I think this is like, this is has moments that make it the least grounded.
Oh, for sure.
I don't even mean on a stunt level. I mean like
the plot
point.
Yeah.
But
we'll get into that next week.
At its core, it's so enjoyable.
It's like, yeah, parts of the least grounded, but also I'm like, it's a series where people carry around printers that print off masks and like have James Bond gadgets that climb up walls
and messages
self-destruct
3 seconds after
and they walk into
them.
Like Russian bases with a screen to like change remember this perspective.
That's my one of my favorite scenes
and the sound
all,
of, it's such a good scene.
These movies do comedy really well too, and it's not.
They've only
like,
gotten funnier.
It's not quippy comedy. It's
not Marvel comedy.
It's like it's slapstick goofy. It's Loop on the Third shit.
It's not. He's standing right behind me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like
yeah,
fun. And Tom Cruise is really funny in it too. Like some of his delivery and it's really good. Fuck, man.
Most of it is just like, you know, the disbelief of the things that he's doing. He's very like...
I think we were saying like, and I was saying in the car afterwards, I'm not sure if we were still together before, if we were saying it, but I was like, the best thing about Ethan is, yes, it's, he's such a great, he's so, he kind of, to me, feels like, Daniel Craig wishes he was playing that character, because he's constantly like eating shit. He's in like, he's in a like state of disbelief at everything he's doing. And he's also like vulnerable. And I don't mean like sad vulnerable or something, like he's taking blows all the time and like unsure of himself, you know what I mean, like, and the thing always goes wrong and he's like, we sure we got to do it this way, you know what I mean? There's something like really everyday man about him, even though he's not an everyday man. I think that's like really interesting. And he's a character that like, you watch the first film and you're like, oh, it's just Tom Cruise, whatever, but he's kind of just become his own character that is Tom Cruise. I don't know, it's weird, like he could have been a nothing pretty boy, whatever, but it's been really interesting seeing him kind of become the like elder statesman of the team.
For sure.
And also like 27 years with the fucking same character.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Just like, no, there's been three James Bonds, there will be, I think, by the time Dead Reckoning Part 2 comes out. That's insane.
And like, yeah.
There's been like four Batman since, dude, there was, Batman and Robin wasn't out yet, so there was still Val Kilmer,
yep.
George Clooney, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, and Robert Pattinson have all been Batman on screen.
Some of them again.
Some of them again.
Michael Keaton was Batman as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, again. There's been five Batman and one Ethan Hunt.
Damn, there's only one Ethan Hunt.
He's so good.
Yeah. So we're going to rank all of the Missions Impossible.
And we'll do a spoiler reaction for our second viewing next time.
Absolutely. And then we're going to... also, talk about all of our favorite movies of the year so far and our least favorite movies of the year so far. So, you know, movies that we've talked about already, you know, putting them up against each other, trying to figure out what our favorite ones have been. But also, this is going to be really special for me because I'm going to try and fill in some gaps in what, because you've clearly seen more movies than I have.
Yeah, no, I have.
Although I just got a couple of movies that I have on you that I've seen that you haven't. They just
Slam Dunk and...
And Shin Kamen Rider. Both are coming to Australia really soon.
So cinemas?
Shin Kamen Rider
Amazon.
Is Amazon Prime, which is annoying.
When is that?
In like 3 weeks' time.
That's huge.
And then the first Slam Dunk, which is, spoiler alert, my favorite movie of the year so far. A distributor's got announced.
And it's
huge. Someone the guy who not only started Madman in 1996, but 2 years after that, he's responsible for... airing Evangelion on SBS.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Tim Anderson, I believe his name is. So it's his new company.
Oh, huge.
And their first movie is the first Slam Dunk.
Oh, that's amazing. I remember that guy. He's like, you can thank me for getting like Evangelion on SBS.
Yeah. So very excited for you to see those fucking movies.
Friend of the show, Tim.
Sure, god of the show.
Well, friend of the show.
If you want to be a friend of the show, you can by giving us money, because money buys friendship.
That's right.
And you can buy our friendship over at patreon.com/heyfam. For $5 a month, you get a bonus episode of Hey Fam every single week. Not just the bonus, it's the bestest.
That's true.
This episode you just listened to, trash. The one you're about to record, incredible. I barely got a voice for some reason. I don't know where it went. I haven't been sleeping much this week. So
yeah. We'll let you have a little nap.
And then wake up.
Sugoiko.
Yeah, Sugoiko is the name of the new distributor for Slam Dunk in Australia. But we're going to be talking about all those movies that aren't Slam Dunk and more over at patreon.com/heyfam. Please come and join us. You also get access to our Discord community.
So does Mad Men exist?
What's that?
Does Mad Men exist?
Mad Men got bought by
Crunchyroll,
and then Crunchyroll got bought by Sony. So it's like, it kind of is a company that can't do much, I think.
Because they still like do some things, don't they?
I don't know how, because Crunchyroll has like worldwide distribution now through Sony.
Yeah, like you go see like a Demon Slayer film and it has like Crunchyroll before it. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's so weird.
But yeah, Madman, I mean, Anime Lab obviously doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
But this Sugoiko does exist. So hopefully they do cool shit.
Yeah.
You should do some cool shit right now, like going to patreon.com/heyfam, and we'll see you later, alligator.
Bye.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.